Support for this public radio podcast comes from Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations. Online at shrm.org.
Things go better without coca.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. The nation of Bolivia wants something from the American maker of fizz. As part of a campaign to bolster the image of the coca plant, Bolivia's asked Coca-Cola to drop the word coca from its name. Coca growers say the coca leaf is a sacred part of Andean heritage. Don't forget that Bolivia's President Evo Morales used to grow the stuff himself. Meanwhile, over in Afghanistan, there's a bumper crop of opium poppies, 60% more than last year. The U.S. wants to spray the poppy fields with weed killer, but the Afghan government opposes that. Helen Palmer reports from the Marketplace Health Desk. Some in the West have other ideas.
The British Medical Association and some academics say it's a mistake to destroy the poppy crop. Gordon Smith, former Canadian ambassador to NATO, advocates a more pragmatic approach.
We should establish with the Afghan government some means of buying up the poppy production and using it to deal with the worldwide shortage in opiates.
Smith suggests a poppy marketing board, like those that handle other agricultural crops, to establish a price and keep the opium in legal hands. This would support poor Afghan farmers who turn against the U.S. when it destroys their crops, Smith says. But the U.S. State Department says there's already enough legal opium, and shortages of medical opiates are due to production problems. Besides, it argues, Afghanistan's so lawless there'd still be huge quantities of opium diverted because the illegal trade pays better. In Boston, I'm Helen Palmer for Marketplace.
The internet telephone service Skype says it now has more customers in China than in the United States. Marketplace's Steve Tripoli says it just goes to show how developing countries are becoming big players in the growth of some Western businesses.
Skype officials say China is now a main driver of their business, and users across Asia now account for 30% of Skype's customer base, up from 20% just a year ago. Trigvi Thayer at the University of Minnesota says this is an example of how developing countries often skip a generation of technology as they enter markets.
Basically, it's a game of catching up, but they're able to catch up quicker.
Thayer says swift moves to several top-flight technologies help poorer countries narrow the economic gap with wealthier ones. He says new telecom technologies are just one example.
These can sort of jumpstart development in developing countries because these developing countries won't have to go through the process of laying landlines.
It isn't only in telecom. Some developing countries also focus on solar power, green construction, and digital databases in their new facilities. I'm Steve Tripoli for Marketplace.
On Wall Street Thursday, the Dow closed up 27 points to 12,159. The Nasdaq closed up 7 to 2378, and the S&P closed up 5 to 1392. The Nikkei closed down 116 points, and oil is trading at under 58 bucks a barrel. Tired of those delays every time you set foot in an airport? You better get used to them, because the FAA says it expects an average of 1.4 million more takeoffs and landings every year until the year 2020. The FAA also says our air traffic control system is getting a little too old for all this action.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by Medtronic, offering information to learn about sudden cardiac arrest and available life-saving therapies at Medtronic.com. Sustainability coverage supported by Calvert, mutual funds, college savings, and retirement investments in companies committed to responsible environmental, social, and governance practices. Calvert.com.
This morning when I got to work, my inbox wasn't as crammed as it usually is with news releases. Turns out there is a reason for that. Raimi Innocencio investigates.
What's the news value of a day of the week? In relative terms, Mondays are usually more valuable than Fridays for good news. Katie Conover, Media Vice President of Ogilvy Public Relations Worldwide, gives us the basic formula.
Monday tends to be, particularly here in Washington, a slower news day, so it's probably the best day.
The converse, Fridays and the weekends are rugs under which bad news is swept.
As you get into Friday, though, as you know, news is often become sort of buried as people, you know, head into the weekend. They are paying less attention, and the chances of your story really being picked up and noticed are slim.
But that's just the most basic rule of thumb used to calculate value. And don't forget Saturday and Sunday.
If you're releasing good news, some folks in the public relations industry claim that Sunday is the new Monday, that you work the story on a Sunday to try to get in the Monday morning news.
That's Maggie Fitzpatrick, Senior Vice President of APCO Public Relations. She says days of the week aren't the only factors that must be taken into account to figure out a day's worth for a client.
With the onset of the internet and the 24-hour news cycle, the constellation of media is much more complex.
And that zooms into time segments for any given day, morning, afternoon, evening. If you're listening to this live, you're likely on your morning drive to work right now. For radio, this time of day is where the money is.
When most people are commuting from their workplaces to their homes or vice versa, that's a very good, what we call in PR parlance, a money placement.
And for daily papers, it's location, location, location.
If you are a CEO of a multinational company and you have a front page placement above the fold on the Wall Street Journal, that's what we call a money placement. Highly valuable.
It's all about extended earned media, says Fitzpatrick.
And by that we mean a placement with CNBC on Power Lunch, a placement or a guest appearance on Bloomberg Television.
The value of time in politics is the inverse. Weekends are the best days for good news. One prime example of this was Senator Hillary Clinton's announcement of her presidential exploratory committee. The date was January 20, 2006, a Saturday. Katie Conover of Ogilvy.
Her goal was clearly to insert her story into the Sunday talk shows, so releasing on a Saturday made sense. By releasing then, it becomes fresh news and fresh fodder for those discussions.
So it's evident when it comes to timing that every little thing counts. And timing is still everything. In Washington, D.C., I'm Ramy Innocencio for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. Enjoy your weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.